11. We're going to continue on in our By Faith series. Our theme for the year is By Faith, and we won't spend every single Sunday night looking at Hebrews chapter number 11, but there is at least a few more messages out of here that I think it's important for us to hear and see. Next Sunday we'll be preaching something about, I'm sure, dealing with the resurrection or dealing with days leading up to his death. But tonight, Hebrews chapter number 11, the title of tonight's message is By Faith, Having a Heavenly Focus. By Faith, Having a Heavenly Focus. One of the things I'm enjoying in my study and in what the Lord's been bringing to my heart is some of the characteristics that are highlighted by the people's faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, and verse number 2, we talk about, for by it, referring to faith, the elders attained a good report. So, yeah, we realize it wasn't all the miraculous things they did. It was the faith that God used to be able to do the miraculous things. And last week we saw, why did Moses make all those choices? Why was it Moses chose to leave the riches of Egypt to go and suffer affliction with the people of Israel? Why would he do that? It's because he spent his life seeing him who was invisible. He spent his entire life looking for that one and seeing Jesus and seeing God, and that he would stand before him and is always standing before him. Consciously living in the presence of God is something that will change the way we live our lives. This week, we're going to look at how Abraham focused on the promise, and he focused on his future home. So we see that Abraham did some wonderful things. We're going to look at some of the things very quickly, and we're going to see why he stayed and he endured in this long relationship he had with God, which seemed to get sweeter and sweeter. Of course, Abraham did do some wrong things, but we know that his relationship became sweeter, known as the friend of God in the Bible. And so look at these characteristics that we saw. Last week was Moses, who saw him who was invisible. This week, we're going to see Abraham with this heavenly focus. Hebrews chapter number 11, let's start in verse number 8. We're going to focus mostly on verses 13 through 16. But let's start in verse number 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Probably most of you know that God called him out of the land of Ur, but he did not tell him where he was going. He told Abraham, I want you to get up. I want you to uproot your family. I want you to leave your family behind, and I want you to go to a place. I'm going to give it to you for an inheritance. And he obeyed. And he was called out of a place of idolatry and a place of wickedness, and he obeyed. He listened to God. He did that by faith. This is in verse number 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So it wasn't as if things were going to be easy. Yes, God bless Abraham, but he does not have a permanent location. We remember how Abraham even had to go buy a plot of land to be able to bury his wife. He was someone who was living in tabernacles, which is temporary dwellings. Isaac and Jacob were the heirs of this promise also, and he kept his focus on that promise. He had not received the promise yet. Verse number 10. It says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He said this is what he's looking for. He is looking for a heavenly focus. He's looking for the reward or his promise that was given to him. Abraham was told he was going to have a great nation that is made after him. We're going to skip over verses 11 and 12. They're referring to Sarah. Someday we might come back and look at her. Verse 13, these all died in faith. Who are they referring to? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah. Not having received the promises. They knew it was coming, but they did not get to partake in the promises of that great nation, that solidified area, that one nation of Israel, and occupying all the land that was promised. But having seen them afar off, they saw the promises that God had given them afar off, and were persuaded of them, which means it caused them to do something, caused them to react. Not only did they believe in the promises, they, by faith, caused them to change what they did because of the promises. Not only were they persuaded of them and embraced them, they kept them close. It was a sign of affection. Most people think of embrace. They grabbed a hold of them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. They made this confession. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. That this is not the end for me, and this is not what we're looking for, but instead we're looking for something that's even greater. Verse 14, he says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." And it's plainly stating, this is not my world, this is not my home, but I am seeking a country. And we saw earlier, talked about whose builder and maker is God up in verse number 10. They are keeping a heavenly focus. Verse number 15, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country," now this is a verse that I think we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. They're saying if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, if they had left their heart in Ur, if they would have kept their mind on the things that were of the past, it says they might have had opportunity to have returned. God's not going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do. But he wants your heart to be in a heavenly focus. And yes, if you want to return back to the world, which would be foolish, it's okay. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, the testimony that's being given about them, they didn't focus on the things they left behind. They focused on what God had promised them for the future. And it says in verse 16, "But now they desire a better country." That's good. I think that most of them would say, hey, we desire a better country, desire America to be a better country. But that's just this world, earthly things, temporal things, the things of this world will pass away. And he's referring to that better country that God had promised him. And it says a better country that is an heavenly. And I know that most people consider Abraham this, and the Israel promise and the inheritance of the earth. I understand that. But he's referring to a heavenly, the new earth. And he says that is a heavenly. "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." And I'd like to look at some of these different thoughts. By faith, having a heavenly focus. Let's pray and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that in just this few seconds of just coming to you, we don't want to do it out of routine. Lord, we want to do it because we want to hear from you. And Lord, I pray even now as I pray that people are praying silently, that not only will you speak to other people's hearts, but that you'll speak to theirs. And Lord, that if there's something in their life that they need to work on, Lord, that they'll work on that. And Lord, that you'll use the Holy Spirit of God to speak to their hearts. And to those that do have a heavenly focus, that you'll encourage them by looking at the example of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, and that they'd never received the promises. It was something that was going to happen to them. They were building this country and living this way for the future. Lord, they had a heavenly focus. Help us to realize this world's not our home. And if we're going to live by faith, we're going to have to see him who is invisible. And we're going to have to not focus on the things of this world, but instead we're going to have to focus on the things that are to come. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a couple things I want you to look at tonight, and there's only two points, and they're pretty simple points. First point is having the right focus or a heavenly focus means having the right affections. Having a right focus or a heavenly focus means we are having the right affections. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." He said, if you're a believer, if you've been risen with Christ, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, then it says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. We went to camp a number of years ago, and they used that song, and that was their theme, set your affections on things above, and they even had a little chorus that went with it. I'm not sure if that was a time before our kids. Were you there for that one? Reese, you remember that song? It might have been before you. We've been around for a while, and I think it was like those years that Derek Sawyer, Amanda Cook, all those older kids, and they had that song, set your affections on things above. And the thought process here is that this is what Abraham did. If you're going to have a heavenly focus, you're going to have the right affections. The right things are going to have to grab a hold of you. And the right things are things that you're going to have to embrace. There are things in this world that you're going to have to say, that's what I want. That's what I'm going to focus on. For instance, many times when you get married, you should forget about all those old girlfriends and boyfriends. There's one thing that should have your affection. There's one thing that should have your focus, and that's the one you committed to before God. You shouldn't be bringing up old girlfriends and old boyfriends. Shouldn't be talking to them on Facebook and phone calling them and texting them. And, you know, that's somebody, you know, you have a new affection. You have something that's different here, and that is the right affection. And in Colossians chapter 3, he says, set your affections. If you've been risen with Christ, if you're saved and on your way to heaven, if your sins have been forgiven, guess what? You should set your affection on those things that are above. The problem is, many of us set our affections on the things of this world. Many of us care too much about the things of this world. Many of us love the things of this world. So if we're going to have the right heavenly focus, we must have the right affections. Now look, I think this is given description here in verses 13 and 14. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but had seen them afar off. They believed in these promises. They saw them afar off. They saw what was going to happen. It is a heavenly future. They believe and trusted in that. And I think we all believe that, right? We all believe that if we're saved, we're going to be in heaven someday. We believe that we're going to give an account to God. We believe we're going to stand before God. This is all heavenly future things. There's promises that God has given us that we have not seen, we have not experienced yet, but the day we die, we believe that we're going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, rejoicing and praising the Lord, and someday we'll stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll receive rewards for what we did or did not do, things like that. So those are promises. And so they saw those afar off. They grabbed a hold of them. That became their affection. You say, well, where do you see that? Well, it says here, not only did they see them, they were persuaded of them. So if we believe that this is not our home, and we believe that this is only for 80 years or 90 years or 100 years or however long, that this world is temporal and someday it will burn. And someday it will burn up, and someday this world will not be here. There'll be a new heaven. There'll be a new earth. You know, there's other things will be passed away. If we believe that this is a temporal world and that our affections and our future is a heavenly, and we look for that as Abraham did, he looked at it afar off, and it says that he was persuaded by that. That changed how he lived. And I looked at the word persuaded, to do something through reasoning or argument. He heard about the promise and he understood the promise. God had promised him a great nation, and that Christ was going to come through that nation, and that his descendants were going to be more than the number of the sands of the sea and the stars of the skies. And he knew all those promises and even talked about a heavenly future promise. And you know what? He believed that. And I say we would believe in the promises of God, yes, but do they change how we act? Do they cause us to persuade us to say, this world is just temporal, God has put us here, yes, we have to live in it, we have to be a part of it, we have to experience it, and we are used to be a light here in this world, but we're just passing through. Does it change the way we live? Are we persuaded by those promises? Hey, there's a promise. I'm going to stand before God someday. I'm going to give an account what I did today for him and how I listened to this message. I'm going to give an account someday how I preached for this message. Did I preach it for you? Did I preach it for me? Or did I preach it for him? What is my motivation? That persuades me to want to make sure I'm studying and make sure that I want to be clean and that I pray about it and I seek God's face, because someday I will give an account for the opportunities that God has given me. I see those promises, and those promises are, yes, they are far off, but they have persuaded me. They have changed the way I do things. But he even goes a step farther. Not only just does he not see the promises, not only does he is persuaded, which means it changes my action. We've reasoned it out because of the truths and because of the promises, the rewards we can receive, the Christ that died for us, the standing before him at the judgment seat. It says that they embrace them. We can believe something and it can change the way we react to something, but we don't always embrace them. Sometimes I get on a road and sometimes the speed limit's like 45. You ever looked at your wife or husband and said, you know, it's a straight road. There's no red lights. This should be 55 miles an hour. You know, this should be able to go a little faster. You say, well, see, I saw the law. I understood the law. I let that affect how fast I was going, but I didn't really embrace it. I complained about it. And sometimes we see things in this world, and we understand reasoning because it's this world. I am persuaded by it, but I'm not embracing it. Not the way I think it should be done. They took these promises And not only were they persuaded by them and let that change, it says that they embraced them. I think about the word embrace. It means to hold someone closely in one's arms. Especially, it's a sign of affection, is when you embrace someone. And they took these promises, and they let these promises change their lives, but they embraced them because they were from God. They loved them. This was their affection. They were counting on what God was going to do for them someday. It was a heavenly focus. It was, hey, this is what God's going to do for me. Someday I'm going to be there. Someday I'm going to be with him. Someday I'm going to be able to serve him. Someday I'm going to be able to sing about him. Someday I'm just going to sit around the throne just rejoicing. These are promises. You know, there's a mansion for me someday up there. You know, these are promises. I'm going to embrace that. I'm excited about that. Not only is it going to change my life, it's going to give me motivation, the reason why I live. It's going to be what I have affections for. It's what I love. It's what I care about. I say, Pastor, that seems a little bit odd. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. The problem is we've become attracted to certain things. They made it willingly known. Not only did it, they embraced something. You look what it says. Then, event them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Not only did they, were persuaded by it, not only did they embrace it, they made it their passion. It actually says they told other people. They didn't mind saying, hey, look, this isn't my home. You can do whatever you want to me here in this world, but I got another world I'm going to. They made it public. They said, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And then you go to that next phrase, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, that this is not their home. And don't get me wrong, we live in America, we should be good citizens. God put us here and God gave us the opportunity to be part of the democratic process, and we should do everything we can to be a good citizen, to help turn America back to God, and we should love our country, and we should want to do everything we can. But these are just this world. And that's not what our focus is. Our focus is in home, in heaven someday. It's a godly focus. And this, even though we love America, it's not where our heart is at. Our heart is in that heavenly home. It's something that we should desire to tell people. Yes, I love America, but it's just a stopping off point. I'm just passing through. This is not where my affection's at. My affection's not here in this world. My affection's up there in heaven. I was reading this past week. I get daily devotions, and I got a daily devotion this week, and there was a lot of different things I was reading in my devotions and things that helped me with this message. The preacher was talking about an interview he read about an astronaut. His name was John Blaha. I don't know how that's how you pronounce it or not, but I mean, I think Pease is a bad last name, but Blaha, that sounds pretty bad. B-L-A-H-A, Blaha or Blah, I don't know. But he spent several months on a Russian space station, so it's a Russian name, so I guess that makes it okay, back in the 1990s. The veteran astronaut, he said he had flown six different space shuttle missions, but this one he had to spend a number of months in this space shuttle station, and he had to do this with people he did not know. And there was a significant language barrier that proved very challenging. Blaha said that his first month was miserable. And he says this, I kept longing for the things that I loved on earth. Finally, I decided I had to forget about them. And when I did that, then I loved being on the space station. For the first month, his focus was that I keep on missing the things that were on earth. But the day he says, you know what, I'm not there, I'm going to have to forget about those things. He said, enjoy the rest of his mission. No matter what country a Christian lives here and here on earth, our true citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And while there are concerns of our daily living that must be met, obviously we're supposed to be good stewards. We're supposed to take good care of our families. We're supposed to love them. You know, there are things in this world that has our hearts. It's just that our focus should be on heavenly, how we can use those things. When our focus settles on earthly things, we cannot love heaven and the things of God as we should. Let me say that again. When our focus settles on earthly things, we cannot love heaven and the things of God as we should. Everything around us is temporal, and one day all that is material will be destroyed. But if we love those things, we're not going to be able to love God the way we should. And as we talked about, and I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, that we cannot serve two masters. We must realize that our love and affection is going to go somewhere. It's either going to be here or there. It's not, you can't love your girlfriend and love your wife at the same time. It's either going to love one or the other more. It's just not supposed to be that way. Living for the things of God requires our affections. It is no mistake that Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the God above all else. He's the one that said that because he knew if you tried to split your affections up that you're going to care about the things of this world. And when you care about the things of this world, you're not going to have a heavenly focus. That's why he says that you need to love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. And he says that's the greatest commandment. He knew what he was talking about. Obedience and holiness are primarily a matter of the heart. No matter what temptations or inducements are offered to someone who loves God as he should, he will remain focused on pleasing the one he loves. This is how we glorify and this is how we obey God, is by we have affections there. A Christian that is fixated on the things of this earth will not have the affections on Christ or eternity. Your love, if it's somewhere else, is not going to be where it needs to be. Abraham, it says, by faith Abraham did this, and by faith Abraham did this, and by faith Abraham did this. He had a heavenly focus that lasted many years because he was not fixated on the things of this world. It says that he was looking for that better country. A verse that we're reminded of is 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now that next phrase, years ago, I couldn't figure it out. If any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I think, well, I'm a Christian. Of course I love God, but I love some of the things of this world. But then I began as thinking and understanding, you know what, I can't love both. There, one thing is something I'm going to have to love more than something else. There's only, no man can serve two masters. He's either going to love the one or hate the other. And the principle is here, if you love the things of this world too much, you're not going to love God the way you should. So the first point is, if we're going to have a heavenly focus, there are some things that we're going to have the right affections. The second point is, having a heavenly focus means being able to forget some things. Heavenly focus means being able to forget some things. Look what it says in verse number 15 again. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now, I remember when we did Genesis a number of years ago that this was the land of Ur, and this is where that Abraham came out of here. And Ur, they had a lot of fancy things. It was an idol-worshipping town, and you know, if Abraham and Sarah, if their interest was, they had left, and they kept on thinking about their family that was back there, and they kept on thinking about their business they had back there, and they kept on thinking about how the food was better back there, and how they had friends back there, and how God called them to a place that nobody knew who they were, nobody knew about them. He put him in a spot where he was really a stranger and a pilgrim, and he embraced that role because he knew what was going to happen. But if his mind was back here saying, boy, I wonder what's going on back here, and I wonder how things are going, and I wonder this and I wonder that, then that would have meant that Abraham and Sarah probably would have returned, and they would have missed out on what God had promised them, and they would have missed out on God's blessings. It says in verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. It reminds me of the story you remember back in the when they had sent the 12 spies out, and you know, 10 were bad and 2 were good, and they came back and they were they heard about the giants and they became fearful, and then the Israelites says, let's go back. And even different times, he says, we remember all the vegetables we could eat in Egypt. We remember this. We remember all these good things about Egypt. They were in bondage back there. They were slaves. They were working up, from sundown, and they were crying out to God because of the bondage they were in. They were crying out because of how hard and how bad it was. But back over there, when things got tough and when they lost their focus, they said, hey, it wasn't so bad over here. Christian, if you truly want to have a heavenly focus, there's going to have to be some things that you forget about. There's going to have to be some things that you lay down. Obviously, Abraham left his country, but think about other people who left their country or were taken from the country and God was able to use because their minds were not mindful. You think about Joseph in Egypt. I think Joseph, in that position he had, probably could have went home sometime, but God still blessed him and used him. Think about Esther in Persia that was taken away and became the wife of the king. You think about Daniel in Babylon, Ruth in Bethlehem. If their mind was on their former country, instead of serving God and having a heavenly focus, they probably would not have served God with all their heart like they did. There's an interesting story, and we might get to it in the book of Luke. It's Luke 17:32, and there's a verse. It's one of the short verses. You know, when you have a memorizing verse contest, everybody picks John 11:35 first. Jesus wept. Well, Luke 17:32 is one of those also. It's remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. That's all the whole verse is. Remember Lot's wife. You can memorize that and say, hey, I memorized my verse for the week. Remember Lot's wife. But there is a story about that. See, that's talking about the end times. It's talking about when the tribulation period's coming and all the different things that are happening. And he says, remember Lot's wife. Because Lot's wife was fleeing for her life out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened? She turns back and she looks and she becomes a pillar of salt. You know what happened? Her heart and her mind was still in Sodom and Gomorrah. God was offering them a way of escape. God was saying, hey, look, you can get out. We'll set you free. Go ahead and run. We'll make sure that you're safe. But no. Her heart was there. And Christian, I want to tell you that today, there are some things we have to learn how to forget. We're going to have to learn how to forget the things of the world and love not the things of the world. And there are things in our life, if we truly want to have a heavenly focus, there are certain things that we just can't get entangled up with. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, it's one of the verses we've been talking about discipleship. It says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. They're saying that's a heavenly perspective. You know what? We're going to teach this to other people so that way they can teach other people, and so it can just be passed down from generation to generation so they can know the truth because it's heavenly focus. But the next verse says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're going to face hardness. If you're going to try to teach other people the truth of the gospel, you're going to have hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then the next verse says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. What the scripture is saying here is that no man that is in the battle and fighting this Christian warfare is not going to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Now, once again, I don't think there's anything wrong with being inside this world. We just don't have to be of this world. I think there are some things that you can enjoy and be a part of and not become something you get entangled with. But if there is something that is fighting your affection, if there's something that's fighting your thought life, if there's something that you give more credence to than the Word of God and credence to than the God of the universe, and something you would not ever miss, but you wouldn't mind missing your prayer time, something you would not mind missing, would never miss, but what you would miss church for, you know, you're entangling yourself with the things of this world. I began thinking about some of the things. Entertainment is something that sometimes people get entangled with. Sometimes they like the TV so much, they like a show so much, they like a radio show so much, they would never ever miss it. They have such great affection for it that they can't get it out of their heart and can't get it out of their mind. Be very careful. The Bible says the person who's warring is not going to entangle themselves up with the things of this world. I think about hobbies. Sometimes people let their hobbies entangle themselves so much that they take their time, and they take their resources, and they take all the different things, and they entangle themselves up with it that they don't have time for the Word of God. They don't have time for prayer. They don't have time for the house of God. They don't have time for the service of God. They have allowed these things to entangle themselves up to the point that they're no longer warring. Because if you're going to war, you're going to have a single focus. And then you think about things like cell phones and social media and relationships. They captured people. They've been captivated. They're in bondage to those things. I think about the story about Daniel. Daniel was taken from his homeland. He was in bondage. He didn't have a choice. He was a slave there. They did some horrible things to him, and you know, he still served God. That's what bondage is. And he did not have a choice there, but he still served God, and there God still blessed, and there he was still used. That's not the type of bondage I'm talking about here. I'm talking about like the Egyptians who remembered what Egypt was like, and they thought, hey, I remember some of the good things that are in Egypt. I want to go and leave God's plan, leave God's best, and head on over back to Egypt, head on back over to the world, and be a part of this. Is when we care so much about the things of this world, whether it be entertainment, whether it be those phones, or whether it be social media, whether it be even the relationships we have, the hobbies, the sports. You know, you can be addicted to those things, and they become your bondage. They become the things that you're entangled up in. And even though you like to read your Bible, you can't get your mind off of those things. Even though you like to be praying, even though you like to be a witness, even though you like to be faithful to church, I care about these things so much. My heart is here. It's not over on heavenly things, because my affection is no longer on things above. They become part of this world over here now. You got to be careful here. The Bible's saying if we truly want to live by faith, what does it look like on paper? Last week on paper, it was Moses saw him who was invisible. He lived his life believing in the God that he could not see, even more than the pleasures of the world had to offer him. This week it's saying that there was a man here who believed God's promises. He persuaded by these promises. He made those promises his affection and his love on heavenly things, and he told the world. But there's many of us who have become so busy with the things of this world, and we love the things of this world, that we become in bondage to it. And even sometimes we would like to stop, but our hearts are pulled. I know some people talk about getting addicted to drugs and alcohol, and I'm sure there's scientific things that go along with that that cause your body to desire that and want that. But I've seen people be addicted to things like Facebook and the TV and cell phones. And like I said, I'm not saying any of those things are bad or wicked. The internet can be the greatest tool in the world, or it could be the most wicked tool in the world. It's all in the way you use it. But a person can become in bondage to that. A person can set their affection on that and those things of the world. And when you love those things, you're not going to love God. You're not going to love him. Why do you say that? I said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If you love the things of the world, guess what? The love of God is not in you. You're not loving him like you should in the least. The amazing thing is, we put ourselves in that bondage. It's not like Daniel that had Nebuchadnezzar come and capture him and drag him all the way back to Babylon. Many of the things that we're in bondage of today is the bondage that we have put ourselves in. We have allowed ourselves to become addicted to the things of this world. We have allowed ourselves to become lovers of this world, and we have allowed ourselves to let our affections, instead of being on God and our desires to be on God, they become more on worldly things. As I said, you must decide for yourself what is truth and what is not truth and where things lie. I think there are certain things you can enjoy and be a part of, and not, you can have a hobby such as going hunting, and it doesn't have to become a god in your life. You can have different things you might enjoy doing, working on cars or doing other things, that, you know, even watching some type of decent movie out there, if there is any decent movies and things like that. But it's where your heart is. Those things should not take precedence over God. There's people who miss church, Bible study, prayer time, but they would never consider missing a TV show, never consider missing a email or a post or a text message. There are certain things that we must be willing to leave behind if we're going to have a heavenly focus. There are certain things that we must say, I cannot let this occupy my mind, and I cannot let this occupy my thought life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This past week in our continue book that our adult Sunday school class is going through, there was a devotion on day two called Beware of Junk Food. They said that in 2012 that there was more than 10 million donuts was eaten more than in 2011. Now think about that. In 2012, there was 10 billion more donuts eaten by Americans than there was in 2011. And they said, beware of junk food. They were just showing you that, you know, that's 3 dozen donuts for every man, woman, and child living in the country. I don't eat 3 dozen donuts a year. I might eat a dozen donuts throughout the whole year. We also consume large amounts of fast foods. We also consume a lot of junk food, and the country is becoming more and more obese. But the thought here is one of the worst things about eating junk food is that it destroys our appetite for healthy food. Who's going to want to drink water when you can drink Mountain Dew, right? Yeah, I don't mind water. I kind of even like water if I force myself to drink it. But if I start drinking Mountain Dew, guess what I don't want? I don't want the water anymore. The junk food takes that place. In our Christian lives, if we fill our thoughts and our hearts up with a bunch of junk, you know what it's going to take us away from? The things that are really needful and the things that are important, like the Word of God. If we filled our minds up and our hearts up with things that are just of this world, is going to take away from the victorious, successful Christian life that comes from meditating on the Word of God and the Scriptures. If we let so many things occupy our mind that the Bible doesn't occupy it, then we're missing out where the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." It says that we're supposed to be thinking about the things of God day and night. You say, "Pastor, who does that?" The person who is blessed. The Bible also says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, the world is like junk food. You eat too much before you get to dinner. You eat too many snacks before dinner. When it comes time to eat dinner, the things that are going to help you, those vegetables and those meats that are going to help your body grow and be healthy, you're not going to want it anymore because you've already filled up on junk. And many times what happens in this world is we fill up in the junks of this world that we have no time for God. So be careful. And as I was studying this message, this spoke to home, myself, probably greater than any, it might speak to any of you. God worked me through, and I looked at it, and I kept on studying, kept on working on it. And I said, any time that I put myself into this world and I think about the things of this world more than I think about the things of God, I'm putting myself in a bondage because no longer am I loving God like I should. Instead, I have put something that does not matter in front of God. If I love the Pittsburgh Steelers more than God, what have I gained? Nothing. I've wasted my life. If I love a TV show or a hobby or a thing of this world that's going to pass away, and you know, some people might judge me for saying this, but relationships are like that also. Be careful with your relationships. I've had parents and grandparents say, "Those kids are my life, and those grandkids are my life." God should be your life, and they should be a part of it, and you should be teaching them and showing them and leading and directing you out of a heart of love and with a heavenly focus. You can show them and you can guide them and you can lead them and teach them spiritual things that you could never do before because the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding your life. You can win them to Christ. You can direct them to how to live a Christian life. And sometimes people are, "I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my grandkids. What should I do?" You should get as close to God as you can and live a prosperous Christian life in front of them. They're going to want that and see that. But when you fill your life with junk just so you can fit in with them, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become addicted to some of those things, and then you're going to turn around and say, "Whatever happened? I'm not close to God like I used to be. I'm missing these things." Be careful. Don't give up the spiritual things in order to try to reach your family. That's not going to happen. We know what the Bible says here, is that we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength. And I love my sons. I love my family. And it's something we must make sure that they are not number one on your list. They come after God. You even see that story in that verse that confuses so many people. If you hate not your father, your mother, your wife, your children. I mean, you can see if you hate your mother-in-law, that's one thing. But, if you hate not your father, your wife, you know, you cannot be my disciple. I mean, they say that. And you're like, what in the world? They must have got that wrong. It's the idea that if you don't love God supremely over them, it's going to look like you're going to hate them. They might even accuse you of that. But then you are connected with God. in a way that God can use you to help bring them to Christ and help show them how they're supposed to walk and show them how they're supposed to live. But the issue is, if we're going to have a heavenly focus like Abraham had, there are going to be some things we're going to have the right type of affection. We're going to have to love the right things. But also, there are going to be some things we forget. He said in verse number 15, if they would have been mindful of that world that they left, then they might have had an opportunity to go back to it. But it wasn't in their heart anymore. They gave that up. They said, I'm going to do what God wants me to. And they left. So in our lives, I'm not saying that you need to go home and get rid of any type of entertainment. I'm not saying that. I think you need to go home and think in your heart and your mind, what is right? What do I love? What do I love the most? And look and ask God to help show you. I don't know about you, but when there's a problem in my heart and life, God points it on and puts it right on my finger and says, this is what you need to work on. And when I get that fixed, he'll show me something else. And when I get that fixed, he'll probably show me something else. I'm going to spend the rest of my life getting those things fixed. But I don't have to look very hard. God reveals those things to me when you come to him in sincerity. But you have to be willing to say, this is something I'm struggling with. Maybe I should lay this aside for a while. And if God allows it to come back to me, then I can do that. But don't be in bondage to the things of this world. It's not going to help you. And it's going to hurt your chances for helping people to go to eternity. Now, once again, if you're a Christian, obviously you're on your way to heaven. But Abraham had this promise. And what did Abraham do with his life? He didn't just go out and do whatever he wanted to. He let that promise persuade him. He even embraced it. And then he told other people, this isn't my home. I'm just passing through. God's got something better planned for me. I can't get mixed up with all this other stuff because God's got something planned for me. I can do things and I can enjoy things, but it can't have my affections. It can't have my love. I need to be able to leave it behind. If you ever consider, hey, should I come to church or do a hobby? Guess what? You like that hobby too much. That question should even come in your heart or mine in my perspective. You know, if you're thinking, should I haven't read my Bible yet, but my favorite TV show's on. What should I do first? Then you got your emotions and affections in the wrong spot. It's something you gotta. God says he wants you to love him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and your strength. So tonight, what Abraham was, his by faith was, that characteristic was, he had the right focus. He wasn't mindful about the area he left, and we should not be mindful of this world. The Lord says, set your affection on heavenly things. He says, don't get entangled with the things of this world. He says, love not the world. So I'm not making these things up. It's principles that are there. The question is, do we have a heavenly focus? And if we don't, what is that thing that our focus is on instead of heavenly things? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.